If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms this morning. We're going to cover quite a bit at the beginning of the message this morning in that book. And we're continuing the series in regards to our mind and the thought processes, changing that, not conforming any longer to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And why do we do that? Well, so we can know what the will of God is. The title of the message this morning, we've got this one today and the message next Sunday, and we'll kind of get off of that subject for a while. We may get back to it later in the year, but I feel like this is where we're going to kind of bring this to a close this Sunday and next Sunday, this particular series on the mind and renewing the mind. But today we're going to talk about search and examine. Search and examine. In Psalm 11, verses 3 and 4, David asked a question. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? We look around at our nation and our planet and governments around the world, and we see foundations that nations have been founded on crumbling around us. It's not just our country that we see moral decline and we see financial problems, and obviously everybody's battling the COVID situation all across the planet. But David asks, when the foundations are being destroyed, and we see foundations that our nation was built on in particular that are being destroyed, moral foundations, just godly principles, the Bible itself being ridiculed, the book that our nation was founded on, and even the book that was the textbook for colleges that were established back in the day, Harvard and other universities, were originally religious universities, and the Bible was their textbook. And so when those foundations are being destroyed, David asks, what can the righteous do? Another translation says, what is the righteous one doing? What's God up to? What's the Lord up to? Is another translation. Not what can we as those that have been made righteous through Christ, what are we doing? No, what is the righteous one doing? He's up in heaven, so what's up with him? And it's a valid question. David is not afraid to ask. Well, he answers the question in verse 4. What is the righteous one doing? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. Aren't you glad of that? When all the foundations of earth are crumbling, foundations in our nation are crumbling, what is the righteous one doing? He's still on the throne. God is still ruling as king forever. He observes the sons of men. His eyes do what? Examine them. His eyes examine them. We're going to talk about that this morning, searching and examining. God is doing that all over the planet. Psalm chapter 7, verse number 9, just one verse there. And David writes this, O righteous God, who searches minds and hearts, bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. Boy, I love that. I love that. Isaiah talks about us living in undisturbed places of rest, in secure dwelling places. I love that. And that's what David is alluding to as well. O righteous God, the one who searches our minds and our hearts, bring an end to the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. Make your people, those that are trusting you, those that believe in God and in Jesus Christ as our Savior, make us secure. It's something that we all want in life is security. And he says, Lord, make the righteous secure. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us this, for the eyes of the Lord range, roam, search throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts, whose minds are fully committed to him. Are you fully committed to the Lord this morning? What is the first thing that you drop out of your schedule if something unexpected pops up and your time gets a little bit short? For most people, we will skip the prayer and word, or we'll skip church that Sunday if something unexpected pops up. That'll be the thing that we choose to drop out of our schedule for a lot of folks. But God is looking. The eyes of the Lord range and roam and search throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts, whose minds are fully committed to Him. God wants people that are fully committed. He wants 100% of you. God doesn't want to settle for 99% or anything less. God wants all of us or none of us. And He deserves it, right? He deserves it. He is worthy of our worship. And so let's go to Psalm chapter 17 for just a moment. Psalm chapter 17, and we're going to pick up at verse number 1. Again, David writes this. He says, "Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer." When you get desperate before the Lord, and David in so many instances in the book of Psalms, he is so desperate to hear from God. He's desperate for an answer. He's being pursued by Saul or even by his own son, Absalom. And so he's desperate. "God, hear, give ear to my prayer." And he says, "It does not rise from deceitful lips. And may my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right." That word vindication is going to pop up again. David is praying for God to vindicate him in the eyes of people around him. Verse 3 says, David says, "Though you probe my heart, my mind, and you examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin." The New Testament says if a person can control their tongue, their mouth, then you've got it made. I mean, you've really done something. But the Bible says it's normally impossible for man to tame his tongue. The only one I think that ever lived on this planet that had a tamed tongue was Jesus. Amen? He's the only one that I think every word that he spoke, even in anger, driving the money changers out of the temple, it was appropriate to the moment. He said, you've made my Father's house, which should be a house of prayer, you've turned it into a den of thieves and robbers. And so he appropriately spoke those words for that moment. David said, "I've resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. So give ear to me and hear my prayer." I love the confidence that David prays with in verse 6. "I call on you, O God, for you will answer me." David knew from past experience that God had delivered him from the paw of the lion and the bear. And then even Goliath as a teenager, David had conquered him. And so David had a track record in his mind of God's provision and blessing in his life. He says, "I call on you because you will answer me. I know you will. You've done it before and you're going to do it again." I love that. Let's go to Psalm 26 and we're going to pick up at verse number 1 there as well. Psalm 26 verse 1. And here's that word I told you to make note of. David says, "Vindicate me, O Lord." You know, have you ever been maybe falsely accused about something and you just want to be vindicated? You just want you to be proved right that you did not do that or you didn't say that or that wasn't your attitude or that wasn't your intention or whatever. And you just want the Lord to vindicate you. David prays that twice now in what we've already covered. "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life." Now, we know that David did not live a blameless life, right? He had a lot of faults, a lot of failures. There was a lot of sin in David's life. I mean, adultery, murder, all kinds of stuff that David did. But he's saying, "Lord, I want you to vindicate me. I've trusted in the Lord without wavering." So through everything, that's a true statement. Everything he went through, he may have failed, but he never wavered in his belief in God. He never wavered in trusting God to get him through whatever he was going through, even if it was his own fault. He said, I'm not wavered from serving you or looking, following hard after you. And then verse 2 says this word again. He said it earlier. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Examine my heart and my mind. Here's one of those verses where both are mentioned. You know, a lot of times when, as we've said in the series, when you see heart in the Bible, it really means mind. But there are verses like this where both are mentioned, where it's not just your mind, but it's your heart, your innermost being, to the very depths of your soul. And so David says, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart, examine my mind, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. John tells us what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. David knew that God's love was ever before him. He could see God's love in his life, in every circumstance and situation of his life. He knew that God had never stopped loving him, that God had never forsaken him, even when he forsook and messed up it on God. God never abandoned David. I love that. And let's go to a more familiar chapter, Psalm 139. It's the one where David talks about there's no place that you can escape God's presence. And so verses 23 and 24, I quote this almost every time we have communion. It's part of my prayer. He says in that verse, 23 and then 24, search me, O God, and know my heart, know my mind, know my innermost being. Test me, there's that word again, and know my anxious thoughts. Not just my heart, not just my mind, but my thoughts as well, all of my thoughts. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me. Have I offended you, Father, in any way? Is there anything in my life that you're displeased with? Search me, examine me, know me. Nothing's hidden from you anyway, so just reveal to me any offensive way. And then lead me in the way everlasting. Direct my steps into paths of peace. Direct my steps into paths of righteousness. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. So lead me in the way that will take me to everlasting life. We need to pray that prayer always. Proverbs 5:21 tells us this, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he, God, examines all his paths. God sees, God knows, God examines. I love it. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, a couple of verses there, 9 and 10, David instructs his son Solomon with these words. He says in verse 9, and you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. Last week, we talked about the different types of minds in the message, many minds. And one of the minds was a willing mind. So David tells Solomon, I want you to serve God with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. Why? Because the Lord searches every heart, every mind, and understands every motive behind the thoughts. Boy, there's a real key. God not only sees the actions, but God sees the thought before it ever became an action. And he knows what your motive was because of the action, what motivated you to perform that act or to say that or to do that. He knows the motives behind the thoughts. And then he goes on, if you seek him, there's that if word, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Solomon, the wisest one ever to live, and Solomon, the richest one to ever live. No king was ever richer than Solomon. But the Bible gave three things for kings not to do. Don't have too many wives, don't have too many horses, and don't collect too much money, don't accrue too much money. Well, we know that Solomon broke all three of those rules. He broke every single one. And David said, if you seek him, God will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he's going to reject you forever. And we know that in the end of Solomon's life, even though he was one of the greatest kings Israel ever had, yet at the end of his life, he succumbed to the foreign wives and began to worship their gods rather than sticking with his God. And you'll never find in Scripture a place where Solomon ever repented. Now, we don't know if he did, you know, in the background somehow, but Scripture will never back up. You'll never find in Scripture where Solomon ever repented. Now, the worst king in Israel's history, Manasseh, who was the most vile and wicked king and murdered babies and all kinds of stuff, just really, really a cruel, cruel king. Yet, when he was dispersed in the captivity to Babylon, we know that he repented, and we see in Scripture that he made it right with God before he died. He came back to God. But you'll never find that in regards to Solomon. It was a prophetic word that David spoke to his son. He said, if you seek God, you're going to find him. But if you forsake him, he's going to reject you forever. And I don't see where we ever find a place where Solomon repented. But he goes on in verse 10 and he says, consider now, Solomon, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. These buildings that we build to worship God in, there to be a place of sanctuary. In the Catholic Church, even someone can go to that church and claim sanctuary, protection from getting arrested or whatever. They claim sanctuary. Or even people that come into the country illegally will find maybe sanctuary in a church like that. And so a temple, he says, the Lord has chosen you to build a temple for him as a sanctuary for his people, as a peaceful dwelling place, a place where you can come and be ministered to. So he says, be strong and do the work. And then skipping down to verse 20 in that same chapter, David also said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. David's saying, son, the Lord, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. And we know that God lived up to that promise. Solomon did finish the temple. It was one of the magnificent wonders of the ancient world for him. And then Jeremiah, let's go to that book this morning. The prophet Jeremiah, and I love this. Let's go to chapter number 20 of the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to look at just a few verses here. Let's pick up at verse number 11. We're talking about the Lord searching us and examining us this morning. Verse 11 of Jeremiah 20 says this, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. 12 is an interesting verse. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and the mind. That's a work of the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit searches us. You know, when we ask God to search us, oh God, know our hearts, it's the Holy Spirit that does that. And he will reveal to us things that might be displeasing in us to the Lord. And so Jeremiah is praying, examine the righteous, those of us that are serving you. Probe our hearts and our minds. And then let us see your vengeance upon those that are coming against us. For to you I have committed my cause. That's very similar to some of the writings of David when David prays against his enemies. He gets a little even more violent. Break their teeth, O God. You know, just destroy them, wipe them out. You know, David would pray that against his enemies. Jesus comes with a different message, obviously, in the New Testament, where he says, if you've got an enemy, give him something to eat. If he has a need, try to supply that need. Love him, pray for him. Pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you. So it's a totally different mentality in the New Testament. But Jeremiah says, Lord, I've committed my cause to you. And then he goes on in verse 13, sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. We did that this morning. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. God is a rescuer. Don't ever forget that. Whatever situation you ever find yourself in, I don't care how bad it is, God will make a way of escape for you. He's promised to do that. He's a rescuer. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Jeremiah 17:10 adds this, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man or woman according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Man, that's a good verse. God wants to search us because he wants to bless us. He wants to reward us. He's not only a rescuer, but he's also a rewarder. And so, but it will be according to our conduct what our reward will be, according to what our deeds deserve. And then David tells us again back in Psalm 139, let's pick up at verse number 1. Psalm 139, verse 1 says this, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. I love that word, familiar. God is familiar with each one of us in this room this morning. He is very familiar with us. He knows us intimately. God knows me better than I know me. God knows you better than you know you. Amen? And so that's a blessing to know that we are that familiar to the God of the universe, that he not only knows us by name, but even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. And he says, you're more valuable to me than many sparrows, and not one sparrow falls to the ground without me knowing about it. That's a powerful thought. Proverbs 20:27 tells us this, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. Again, the work of the Holy Spirit, the lamp of the Lord, the light of the Holy Spirit will shine into our hearts. It searches our spirits. It searches out our inmost being, the things, the very depth of our being. The Holy Spirit does that, searches us. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 12 adds this, the Spirit, again, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Remember, God is not a withholder. God is a giver. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also along with him, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? God is a giver. He's a giver. But it's the Spirit that searches everything, even the deep, deep truths and things of God. It's the Holy Spirit that will do that. And he says, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And so we have not received the Spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit who is from God, and even further, the Holy Spirit who is God, the third person of the Trinity, is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And why? So that we can understand all the things that God has freely given us. Things like the gift of salvation. Things like the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Things like his mercy, his grace. Those things the Holy Spirit will help us understand as we live our lives before the Lord. And finally this morning, in Romans chapter 8, it's an awesome chapter. Read the whole thing at your convenience, even this afternoon. You may have read it a gazillion times, but read it again. Read it again. But these few verses now as we close, beginning with verse 26. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit again, helps us in our weakness. It's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I like that. The Holy Spirit is sent to help us in our weakness. That's why Paul could say, when I am weak, yet am I strong because of the Lord within me. We don't know what to pray for as we should, and so that's why the Holy Spirit can intercede for us with groans that words cannot express. We can have that prayer language that we can pray in the Spirit when we have no words in English. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to ask God for or ask God about in English. And so we pray in the prayer language God has given us as we pray in the Spirit. And so the Spirit Himself intercedes for us at that time, even with groans that words cannot express. And then He who searches our hearts, our minds, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I love that. When you don't know what God's will is about a certain situation, you're trying to make a decision and you don't know which way to turn or what to do, pray in the Spirit, because as you do that, the Spirit is interceding for you as a saint of God, and He's doing it in accordance with what God's will is for you. That's what's so important about being filled with the Holy Spirit, using your prayer language, a language you haven't learned, a language that the Holy Spirit just, you are filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you will pray in that language according to God's will. And then He goes on in verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, number one, and who have been called, number two, according to His purpose, number three. If you didn't love God, you wouldn't be here this morning. And God has called every one of us in this room. God has a calling on every one of our lives. But there's also a purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for every one of our lives as well. So we love God. He's called us, but He's got a purpose. There's a reason why you're still breathing. There's a reason why you're still on the planet. God is not finished with you yet. God's not finished with you yet. And so we know that in all things, every situation that we find ourselves in life, God's going to work it out for our good and ultimately for His glory, that the name of Jesus is going to be exalted in and through our lives the way we live them. Amen? So I want us to ask God this morning to search and examine our hearts and our minds, show us any areas of our lives that we need to surrender to His will today. Amen? Let's do that.